Well, we have been making our way through a series of texts relating to God, man, and authority. We have looked at how we relate to God's authority. We've looked at how we rest under God's flawless, invisible authority. How we're to submit to God's imperfect, delegated authority as we wait for God's perfect, manifest regency. That was our first message. We've also looked at the authority of Jesus, surveying who Jesus is as king, as the king promised, as the king exalted, as the king humbled, as the king who is coming, and so on. Last week, Scott took us through Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, and we took a closer look at the Christian's submission to flawed human authority. And I encourage you, if you haven't listened or if you haven't heard any one of those three previous messages, go back and do so. They're on the web available for you. It would be a good idea to go back and to listen to each one of those. And this morning, we're going to again look at a specific text that calls the Christian to submission. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been called to submission. So go ahead and open up your Bible to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to be in chapter 2 for much of our time this morning, but I'd like to start briefly in chapter 1. And just look at how Peter describes those to whom he's writing. Really, how Peter describes Christians. So look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, jump down to the end of verse 1, who are chosen. If you are a Christian, you are a chosen one. Jump down to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You, Christian, are a born again one. Verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, you again are a called one. Verse 23, you have been born again. Again, we are born again ones, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. Chapter 2, verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. If you are a Christian, that is true of you. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Look in verse 10, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. We are the people of God. In verse 11, Peter shows us the contrast. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers, we have a new identity in Christ. We are a chosen people under him. And consequently, we are now aliens and strangers on this earth. Everything about your identity, Christian, has been radically transformed as a follower of Christ. And everything about your life must be impacted by this reality. And one of the very serious and one of the very consequential realities related to being a Christian and having this new identity is how we, as Christians, are to conduct ourselves in our society. I have a new master. Christian, you have a new master. We have a new moral compass, a new purpose, new priorities. We have new goals and desires, new longings, new allegiances. And I don't know if you've ever felt it, but there seems to be a tension navigating how we as Christians are to conduct ourselves under government authorities. Do you ever feel as if your new priorities in Christ make it difficult to submit to flawed human authorities? You might even feel that prior to being a Christian, those governing authorities actually seemed much more followable than now in Christ. Well, God has given us insight regarding how we might please him, how we might honor him, how we might glorify him as we live in our human societal institutions as followers of God. So please read with me, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's pray. God, this morning as we look at your word, I pray that we would humble ourselves under your word, that we would be quick to submit ourselves under you as we learn about your desire for us to submit ourselves under human institutions. Help us to see and be eager to do that which is most pleasing to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Submit yourself to human institutions. Submit yourself to human institutions. We have a divine command to submit ourselves to human institutions. The reality is that human institutions exist, and every Christian's disposition or attitude towards those institutions is to be one of submission. Submission. And this is true for every Christian, regardless of what time they are living in, regardless of what institutions they are under, regardless of the character or lack thereof found in the human institution. The Christian is to submit himself under mankind's institutions which we function in. And last week we saw that we can have great comfort in our submission under human flawed authority. We can have great comfort because we know every human authority has been established by God and no one else. There is great comfort for the one submitting him or herself under that human authority because we understand that that human authority is not a rogue authority, but is under God's authority. And that supreme authority is our God himself, and he is the one who has established every authority within human institutions. Paul's instruction in Romans 13 was to be in subjection to governing authority, and Peter gives us a very similar command as he tells us to submit to every human institution. What does Peter mean by human institutions? What is a human institution? What falls within that category? Human institution is the fundamental human orders in society. You could say it this way, it's civil rulers. This is a broad brush statement that encompasses civil authority within human society. And in this command, we see that our otherworldly citizenship is not an obstacle to our submission to human institutions. Rather, it calls for it. God has purpose for your submission. God is honored through your submission. There are realities that must be embraced by the Christian who is submitting himself to human institutions. So as we seek to embrace this command from God, let us consider the following realities within the Christian's submission. Number one, Christian submission to human institutions must, number one, be for the Lord's sake. Be for the Lord's sake. Look at verse 13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake. Christian submission to human institutions must be for the Lord's sake. This is divine motive behind your submission to human institutions. You are to submit. I am to submit to human institutions. We must submit because we want to honor our Lord. We obey earthly authority because we love Jesus. And this is a distinctly Christian motive for obedience. Our submission to governing authorities is done out of loyalty to the Lord. Our submission to those put in authority by God is not in competition with our submission to God. Actually, our submission under God's leadership is expressed through submitting to human institutions which he has set in place. Christians submit to earthly authority to honor God's sovereign authority. This is practical instruction for godly living. We are to submit to human institution for the Lord's sake. You see, this instruction does not only relegate itself to our outward actions, but to the heart we have behind our submission. Our submission is distinctly different because we are submitting to governing authorities, to human institutions, out of a love for Jesus. What we believe about God is put on display by how and when we submit ourselves to governing authorities. And likewise, what we believe about God is put on display when we do not submit ourselves to governing authority, to human institutions. Our testimony as believers is impacted by whether or not we obey this command. A life in submission to governing authority is a life consistent with the redeeming work of Jesus. You do it unto the Lord, as one who has been saved by God, as one who has been reconciled to God through Jesus. Do this. As I've had several conversations regarding this topic, and even in my own heart, it seems that something inside of me, tends to want to rush to all of the exceptions around this command. Have you felt that? As we've been talking about, as we've been looking at God's word and the commands to submit under governing authorities, have you found yourself being pulled to want to think through very quickly all of the exceptions to this command? Why do we do that? Why do we want to rush to all of the exceptions? It's almost like we're looking for the way out of submitting to this command that God has given us as a means of bringing honor to him that can be done for him, unto him. As opposed to recognizing this as divine instruction, we tend to want to chafe against this instruction. But it is divine instruction for us. And we should desire to throw ourselves at this command in obedience, to submit ourselves to God in obedience to this command. Paul did not rush to all of the caveats regarding submission to government. Peter doesn't do that. Rather, we must recognize that submission to governing authority is an opportunity for God-glorifying behavior in the Christian's life. We are submitting to our government, but not as slaves of that government, but as slaves of God. So of course, when those things contradict God's commands, we submit ourselves to God. Of course, when government is either mandating actions that oppose God's instruction or restricting that which God has instructed us to do, we submit to God rather than man. Of course, that's the case. But when and how we do that must have careful consideration in light of this command. Scott spoke about that last week, looking at Acts 4 and 5. If you haven't listened to his sermon from last week, it is up on the website, and I encourage you to do so. But we must understand that our submission to the governing authorities is not an opposition to our honoring and glorifying God. But it is a divinely appointed means to our doing good and honoring God as we do so for his sake, for his honor, for his glory. So Christian submission to human institutions must first be for the Lord's sake. And next, number two, Christian submission to human institutions must extend to every human institution. Christian submission to human institutions must, number two, extend to every human institution. Look at the rest of 13 and 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And Peter goes on to clarify what he means by every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. This means that our submission is to extend from the supreme ruler of the human institution to the subordinate rulers within the human institution. And Peter doesn't put any limits on this submission. Your submission to the king or emperor or whatever the supreme ruler is in that particular institution is not subject to the personal character of that ruler, but it is rather because they are holding that position of authority, which we know has been ordained by God. Peter tells us, submit to those in the highest authority positions and those under him. Our obedience and submission must extend to all of the branches of authority. The personal unworthiness of the office holder does not cancel the duty of obedience to the office. God leaves the span of this submission wide open. And we are called to submit to every authority within the human institution governing us. God has ordained them all, and thus to limit our submission is to compromise our ultimate submission to God. Peter tells us, submit to those in the highest authority positions, those making decrees, those instituting laws, and those who are enforcing those laws, to the ones with the highest authority and those sent out by that one to enforce that authority, to the king or the governors who have been sent by the king for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. And in the explanation of the span of our submission, we are reminded of how God uses flawed, sinful human institutions to restrain evil and to promote good. But what about when those governors or those sent out to enforce the laws step outside of God's intended purpose for human institutions? Peter learned this lesson in one of the most intimate ways one could. He learned it from Jesus, actually. Peter observed the most atrocious, hideous, sinful, backwards demonstrations of human authority in all history for all time, as he watched the authorities lay their hands on Jesus and seize him. Do you remember what happened? Peter, with vigilante justice, he drew out his sword. He would stand against this unbridled evil use of authority, and he would do it for the sake of and the protection of Jesus. And he cut off the ear of the slave of the high priest. Do you remember that? And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Whew, thank you, Peter. That was close. I really needed your help." No, that's not what Jesus said. How did Jesus respond to such a response against the authorities? He told Peter, "Put your sword in its place." He healed the severed ear. Jesus said he could have called upon more than 12 legions of angels to put an end to this ungodly use of authority, but he did not do that. He submitted to it, and he suffered greatly as a result to his submission. And look at what Peter says regarding Jesus suffering. Look in verse 21 of chapter 2. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." Those in authority have been given that authority by God for the intended purpose of creating fear that restrains evil, for punishing those who do wrong, and to protect those who do right. However, the improper use of this God-given authority is not justification to rebel against that authority. Jesus did not call upon angelic armies to bring down oppressive governments or attempt to establish a new political order. He did not set up any kind of political administration, nor did he organize public protests against Rome. His ministry, his life was not focused on those things. What was his ministry? What was his life focused on? It was always aimed at the hearts of individual sinners who were in desperate need of God's grace. Jesus preached the good news of forgiveness and salvation. What is the focus of your ministry? What is the focus of your life? What is the pursuit of your life, Christian? Is it the proclamation of the gospel so that sinners might hear the good news of Jesus Christ's reconciliation to God through him, so that they might repent and place their faith and hope in Jesus Christ and have their eternal destiny forever changed? If it is not, Christian, your life needs radical realignment. Christian submission to human institutions must be for the Lord's sake. Number two, Christian submission to human institutions must extend to every human institution. And next, number three, Christian submission to human institutions must fulfill God's will to silence ignorance. Number three, Christian submission to human institutions must fulfill God's will to silence ignorance. You see that in verse 15? For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. The doing right here is clearly the submission to human institutions. And when the Christian submits to human institutions, it silences ignorance. It silences the ignorance of foolish men. And this is the will of God. It is God's will that Christians submit to human institutions and in doing so, silence the ignorance of foolish men. When Christian citizenship is characterized and marked by submission and exemplary behavior, it silences the ridicule of unbelieving men. This is God's will, and our allegiance and submission and love of the Lord should motivate us to be exemplary citizens. The ignorance of these foolish men is not an ignorance that is a lack of knowledge. It's not that kind of ignorance. Rather, it is a settled lack of spiritual perception. This is a willful lack of spiritual perception. This is those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And Peter further describes these men as foolish, and this term foolish means senseless. Those without reason, those who lack mental sanity. And listen, have you observed this? Have you observed this in your interactions with non-believers? Hearing unbelievers' reason behind all sorts of issues is shocking. The lack of consistent reasoning and the consistent use of double standards and hypocrisy and attack on Christian morals is amazing. It's shocking. And yet that is the ignorance of the unbelieving. That is the foolishness. And your submission and your exemplary living as a citizen actually shuts the mouths of those who would speak foolishness and ignorance regarding you. Integrity, purity of life, subjection to rulers, obedience, peaceability, consideration for others, a life of piety, shuts the mouths of those who would look to accuse the Christian. Unbelievers may say evil about you, Christian, and most likely unbelievers will, but live in such a way that assures those statements are lies. Our submission to governing authorities has a significant bearing on our witness of Christ. There is something clearly inconsistent in the one who claims allegiance to Jesus and yet does not submit under God's established authority. Likewise, one of your greatest aids in your testimony, in your witness of Jesus Christ, is a life that lives in submission to human authorities. So how are you doing? How are you doing? Are you fulfilling God's will in regards to your submission to governing authorities? Are ignorant critics silenced because of your submission to human institutions? Where might you need to reevaluate the extent of your submission? Christian submission to human institutions must be for the Lord's sake, must extend to every human institution. Number three, Christian submission to human institutions must fulfill God's will to silence ignorance. Number four, Christian submission to human institutions must protect and promote godliness. Your submission to human institutions must protect and promote godliness. Look down at verse 16. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as slaves of God. Christians are called to submit themselves to human institutions, but that does not mean our ultimate authority. It does not mean our ultimate authority is that human institution. See, we submit to human institutions, but the ultimate authority in our life is not that human institution. We are free men. We are free men and women, children of God. But yet we submit ourselves under the human authority. We do it as freemen. We are citizens of a new kingdom. We are new creations. We have a new master. We are aliens in this world. We have freedom in Christ. And what Peter is making clear is that we are to live as free ones, no longer with ultimate subjection to this world. Yet that reality is not a license to cover sin. As free ones, we are not to chafe against the human institutions we are under. Rather, the reality that we are free ones in Christ must promote godly living within our society. It is to promote godly living under our governing authorities. We're to be holy in this world. We subject ourselves to government for the Lord's sake, being completely free and in no way as slaves to men. But rather, what are we? We are slaves to God. So live as slaves to God, as ones truly free, and beware, because you might be tempted to think that your allegiance to God is an opportunity to do evil. And what evil? The evil of not submitting to human institutions. You might be tempted to use your freedom as a slave of God as a covering for evil. As we reflect on this reality, that true supreme freedom is slavery to God. Do you see that? True freedom is slavery to God. I must ask the question, are you a slave of God? Are you? Have you experienced this freedom? How does one become no longer bound to this world, but to God? It is only through Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ that any of us have become slaves of God, experiencing the ultimate freedom in Him. It is only through Jesus. It is only through His death and resurrection. And listen, what Jesus offers. Jesus offers, what he offers is not complete removal from the authority of this world. It is true you have a new supreme authority if you repent of your sins and turn to him in faith. But as ones who have been reconciled to God, we are called to still submit under the authority which we find above us. Jesus came to provide a means of reconciliation to God that you need because of your sins, that I need because of my sins. Everyone needs this. Every human is a sinner before God. And the only hope that we have is in Jesus. And if you want to experience for eternity the ultimate freedom, which is slavery to God, then I plead with you, repent. Turn from your way of living. Turn from living in opposition to God. Turn to Jesus in submission and love. Every human is a sinner before God, and the only hope we have is Jesus. And if you want to experience for eternity that I, the ultimate joy of submission and allegiance to God. And I plead with you, repent and confess your need for him as your Savior, and turn from a life of rebellion against him and believe upon him. Only his death could pay the price that your sins deserved, that my sins deserved. Christian, God's intention for you is that your identity in him would cause you to live under the human institutions in a manner that onlookers' mouths would be shut. And what do you think it would communicate? If you profess love for God, if you share your love for Jesus, and yet you are characterized as one who is using those realities as a covering for evil by not submitting to the human institutions you are under. What do you think that would do to your witness? This is why one of the qualifications for elders is that he has a good reputation with outsiders. We are to be exemplary citizens. We are to be above reproach in our interactions under the governing authorities in our life. What kind of reputation do you have with outsiders as it pertains especially to human institutions, to governing authorities? This may again raise the question, but what if the human institution is legally binding me to do or promote evil? Or what is it keeping me? What if it's keeping me from doing a direct command from God? Again, you are a slave of God. You are a slave of God. And you submit to him and you obey God rather than men. But as you have occasion, invite other believers into your life. Seek help on this. Instead of looking for the quickest way out of submission, look for the longest road of submission. And we need help. We need each other, don't we? And as you have occasion, invite other believers in your life to help you in those moments. There may not be opportunity to do this every time, but we're to have a disposition of submission to our authority, and we should be quick to invite others into our life to help us discern and to help us pursue obedience to that command as much as possible. Do not use the reality that you are under the rule of Christ as a covering, as a veil to remove yourself from the authorities of this world. Have you ever done this? Have you ever used good sounding intentions to remove yourself from laws? Have you ever made yourself sound really righteousness-seeking for the Lord's sake and use that as a means to remove yourself from the authority? What is your overall attitude towards human institutions? How do you speak about them? What is your attitude towards them? Is there any evil in your thoughts or actions that you might be using your identity as a Christian as a covering for? Your submission to human institutions must promote and protect you from evil, not enable you to pursue or cover evil. Christian submission to human institutions must be for the Lord's sake, must extend to every human institution. It must fulfill God's will to silence ignorance. It must protect and promote godliness. And lastly, Christian submission to human institutions must create model citizenship. Must create model citizenship. Peter wraps up his thoughts on submission to human institutions with four rapid-fire commands. Honor all people, verse 17. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In these commands, Peter specifies how we are to do good so as to shut the mouths of ignorant men. This is the application of submission. This is a summary of how we're to conduct ourselves as citizens within our society. Yes, we are aliens. We are strangers. but we are still under the authority of human institutions living within our society. And if you want a succinct explanation of how to conduct yourself or a motto to live by, here it is: honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It's what we're called to do. It's how we're called to live. Honoring all. Every person has been created in the image of God and is due respect. Honor. We are to show consideration toward all men. We are not to discriminate against any class, any race, any economic status, nothing. We are to show love and honor to all people. All people. This does not mean that we affirm every person, that we agree with every person, that we support every person in their endeavors or convictions, but we do show respect and we do show honor. We do so appropriate with the reality that every human is an image bearer of God. And as slaves of God, we must never regard or treat human beings as mere things to be exploited. Rather, we show honor to all men. We also love the brotherhood. This is Peter's term for the church. See, our submission to human authorities is not a hindrance to our functioning within the body of Christ. In fact, as we conduct ourselves under the authority of our human institutions, we do so in connection to and with love for the brotherhood. We show the world that we love our fellow believers. This is to be a validating and distinguishing mark of the people of God. We love each other. And just to be clear, the command is not to love some of those in the brotherhood. It's not our little realm that we show love to, that we love. We love the church. We love each other, all of us. It's not a select few. We are to love the brotherhood of believers, the whole body of God's people. Are you characterized by love for the church, for the brotherhood? Does that characterize you? The third command is to fear God. Peter has already told us to live as slaves of God and to submit for the Lord's sake. Yet here, Peter again sets forth that the Christian who is conducting himself as a God-honoring citizen is to live in habitual reverential awe of God. This includes trusting him regardless of the circumstances you find yourself in. This means humbling ourselves under his sovereign rule when temporal rulers do not function as we think is right. What does fear of God look like under corrupt human authority? What does it look like when that corrupt human authority is at its worst? We'll look down again in chapter 2, verse 22. Who, that is Jesus, committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Verse 23. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to those, to him who judges righteously. Jesus submitted himself to those who were judging unrighteously because he knew where that authority came from, and his submission to unjust men was an expression of his entrusting himself to the one who always judges righteously. He did this to the point of death. Are you ready? Are you ready to follow Jesus' example? It appears that living in submission to human institutions as a Christian is only on a fast trajectory to becoming more and more difficult. It appears that way. Are you ready to submit yourself under the human institutions unto death, entrusting yourself to the one who judges righteously? Does the reality and your understanding of God's supreme authority and ultimate say in all things Has that truth penetrated and captured your heart to the degree that you will submit yourself to the point of death to flawed, unrighteous authority? Fear God. Fear God. He always judges righteously. The last command, honor the king. Model citizenship within your human institution includes honoring the king or the supreme authority. This individual is to be shown respect as the supreme representative of civil authority. This ruler has been placed in the position of authority by God, and we are to treat him as such as we show honor and respect. Just a reminder, Peter is writing this while under the rule of Nero. Was Nero a just ruler? No. No. This command comes while Peter is under the rule of Nero. How are you doing at these things? Does your life silence ignorance of foolish men? Are you embracing the will of God as you submit to human institutions to silence those men? Are you living as a light of the world before men as onlookers peer into your life? Do they see a life characterized by good works, by that which is pleasing to God? We are not promised ease as followers of Christ. In fact, Jesus himself said, if anyone is to come after me, he is to take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Are you ready to do that? Are you doing that? Are you eager to deny yourself, to deny your so-called rights? And to submit yourself and humble yourself and entrust yourself to the perfect care of God? We must do that. And it very well may be costly. But the reward and freedom in Christ as being slaves to God is greater than any suffering that any human institution could put upon any citizen. We must believe that. When we are tempted to want to reject the authority and go against the authority as we're persecuted for holiness' sake, as that happens, we must have our hearts fixed on eternity with God. We must have our minds fixed on God, on Jesus, and trusting ourselves to our faithful, good, loving God. Let's pray. God, this is a sobering command when we think about the ramifications of obedience to this command, especially as we consider your example of submission under human institutions, God. And yet freedom, slavery to God, is far better than anything else. Temporal self-preservation is never worth it. Help us to proclaim actively your gospel, to seek souls, to be obedient to Christ, to concern ourselves with that which you concerned yourself, and to do so as exemplary citizens, humbling ourselves under the human institutions in obedience. Give us wisdom and discernment how to do that well. Give us eagerness to want to submit ourselves and to submit ourselves. And I pray that you would also give us joy in obedience to that command, regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in immediately, of the consequences of obedience to that command. Help us to pursue above all things the glory and honor of Jesus. And I pray that we would in no way live under governing authorities in a way that would tarnish or diminish or hinder our proclamation of the gospel. Thank you for this new life. Thank you that the command is not just to submit, but that we are to do so unto you, that we can submit for the Lord's sake. What a privilege. What an honor to get to throw ourselves at obedience for the glory of the Lord. Help us to think rightly about our submission. Help us to think rightly about your authority. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.